talk, the opinions, the panel.
Right, we have out of Sydney, Brendan Bradford, and out of New Zealand, we have Ben Strang. News coming through this morning too, fellas, you might have just seen it. Seve Reese out for the rest of the year. The rest of the year, Seve Reese, with a knee injury by the look of it. They're saying out till next year, which means no World Cup for Seve Reese. A door opening for someone within the All Black squad. Sad news for Seve Reese. Ben Strang, we'll start with you this morning. There have been a lot of injuries, haven't there, in Super Rugby early, to be fair. A lot of attrition. What, we're only into about round four.
Yeah, I hadn't actually caught that one this morning, so that is a bit of a shame. But if there was a position that New Zealand rugby are pretty deep in, it would be those outside backs. And someone like Sean Stevenson certainly should be getting a chance based on that. There's no excuse not to get him in there if there's a few injuries about. So, you know, it is a shame in terms of the playing stock, but it is a pretty deep position. So I think the All Blacks will be just fine. It's if there were injuries to somebody like, say, Artie Savia, then I think it would be a cause to panic.
An interesting article this morning, Brendan Bradford. I'll get your opinion on this too, Bren. From Mark Reason. Now, of course, Mark Reason writes some fairly controversial stuff from time to time, but I read it because more often than not, he strikes a bit of a nerve and he also gets it very, very right. And on this occasion, Brendan, he has labelled Super Rugby Pacific as a bore fest. It is doing basically nothing for the game, and theoretically no one goes and it should be scrapped. There's no interest. What do you take on that?
I can't disagree with it being a little bit of a bore fest at the moment. I don't know whether it should be scrapped, but certainly, I remember back in the day growing up in the, you know, the 90s, the 2000s, there were just so many rivalries and grudge matches, you know, and, you know, the other thing, it was the same teams every year. You knew who was going to play. At the moment, over the last probably decade, with changes to the conference system, teams coming in and out, it's been really hard to follow. And so you get to the season, and, you know, it's a World Cup year as well. There should be heaps of hype around rugby union. But you're lacking something. You're lacking a bit of depth, a bit of passion in it. And apart from, you know, maybe the New Zealand derbies where, you know, you're probably going to get a good match, but when you get outside that, it's tough to sort of get excited about watching some of these other teams play. And, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, you go back in time and reduce the amount of teams. Can't imagine them doing that, but at the moment it's sort of getting left behind, Super Rugby Pacific.
What's your gut on it, Ben?
I was just reading that Mark Reason article. I probably agree with one in four of what he writes, I think, and then the others I'm a bit confused by, but I think he is bang on with this. I think, you know, the product is better this year than it was last year because of the rules to try to speed up, you know, the game, but it's just, with professionalism, you know, rugby, you know, if we go back to the early 2000s, probably less professional. It's more, you know, professionalism is more fresh. The analysis and that sort of thing probably isn't quite what it is today. And it allowed for running rugby, it allowed for a really free game. And now there's so much analysis, so much professionalism behind it that they, you know, these teams know how to slow the game down, which is good for them, bad for us as fans. They know how to get the most out of it for their team, but it's not necessarily going to be a good viewing product. And I think that's kind of one of the problems that rugby has. And as much as they make rule changes to try to improve the product, whenever you've got rucks and mauls and scrums and that sort of thing, that just to me, that's not good viewing. We want to see the ball in people's hands. We want to see them running and, you know, trying to go through gaps. We want to see big tackles, all that sort of stuff. You know, for instance, the NFL, as soon as something sort of starts to lean one way or the other, they want to free up the game to have great offensive highlights and that sort of stuff. So they do it. Perhaps rugby could do more of that, but it's just, it's hard. Rugby is a different game, and I agree. I just don't find it that exciting. It is a bit boring.
Interesting. Brendan, when you compare that to figures that have just been released from the NRL, that record attendance figures, strongest start in history to their competition. And there is a game with the ball in play, simply, quite a lot more.
Yeah, that, and that's a huge, huge part of it. It's, there's more of the product. And, you know, rugby league is there's, yeah, there's the ball is in play a lot more. There's more scope for highlights and big hits and running plays. And I suppose from, you know, being in Australia, I suppose the troubles of Super Rugby are just, you know, put against, you know, what the NRL is doing, and it's just far and away the better product, the more exciting thing to watch. And you know, and it also goes back into, you know, just what I was saying before, there's the first 4 weeks, there's been some, you know, rivalry matches, grudge matches, historic sort of teams playing each other. And yeah, it's honestly been probably the best first month to a season I can remember. And I think the other factor of that with the NRL is over here this year is it's the first year in 3 seasons that sort of people have been allowed back into games. Sort of the COVID sort of shadow has gone a little bit, so I think people are rushing back to rugby league again. And yeah, attendance figures through the roof, TV viewership, it's also really high, and there've been some absolutely cracking games as well. So yeah, and yeah, like you say, it's I suppose much more entertaining to watch a game of NRL than it is to watch Super Rugby at the moment.
Mm. Interesting. Actually, a number of theories around that. I might come back to you, Brendan, straight after, and ask you about the Waratahs, because they were the biggest. I know you're in an NRL-driven state there in New South Wales, but what the hell has happened to the Waratahs? We'll be back shortly. Here's news from Aroha.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel. Talk to
me, yeah. Ben Strang with us this morning, as is Brendan Bradford out of Sydney. And I'll stay with you, Brendan, just momentarily to ask you that question. What has happened to the Waratahs? Because they were, at one stage, one of the showpiece teams in franchise rugby in Australia. They are far from it now, and they're that on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. They were, you know, Sydney, especially, or parts of Sydney, are an absolute rugby stronghold for Australian rugby. And it's kind of tough to see what's happened to the Waratahs, actually, just kind of fall from prominence. And, you know, they sort of had they rebounded a little bit last year, had a couple of good performances. 2021, I think, they didn't win a single game. So it's tough times at the moment. They're 1-4 for this season. They've been ravaged by injury, to be fair, but you know, they said they wanted to finish top four this year. And it's there's always changes going on in rugby over here. And yeah, I suppose it's for me personally, I think it's about focusing on the grassroots, focusing on where rugby is strong in Australia and Sydney and Brisbane, and growing those areas and nurturing that talent. The other thing is, I think 5 Super Rugby teams is too many for Australia. I just don't think there's enough. The playing pool is big enough. 3-4 tops is probably where you want to be. But yeah, there's no easy fix either. I know they've signed Joseph Suoliti from the Roosters. It looks like he's going to play for the Waratahs, and that might get a few bums on seats and sell a few shirts over the next couple of years. But like Brandon Smith said, he's not going to help you win a World Cup. He's not going to help you win a Super Rugby title either.
No, very, very interesting. In fact, yesterday we did quite a lot on that, Ben Strang, on the basis that what Gus Gould has said, don't let the door hit you on the ass as you leave. Basically, get out of here, we don't want you anymore. So that was an interesting reaction from Gus Gould. The Warriors this weekend, to Mighty Martin on an 11-day stand down. They got the Sharks, who looked mighty impressive in the second half last weekend.
Yeah, the Sharks, technically my team. I grew up supporting the Sharks, so I like seeing them play well. I've been up to Mount Smart many a time when the Sharks were playing the Warriors. It's also been over to Shark Park. I love it when they're playing well. But this Warriors team, I think they'll be very focused on themselves at the moment. The way that they are playing is very impressive. I think that they've taken care of what they can take care of, which is mainly that defensive stuff, which I think has been really impressive from Andrew Webster and the team. I think that effort in the NRL can be just as important as talent on the defensive side. To have guys making 50 plus tackles, that's just down to effort rather than talent. And I think that's what the Warriors have got right now, is a group of players who are completely buying into what the coach is wanting them to do. They're not conceding many points. They could probably do better on attack, particularly at the start of the games. But the heart that they're showing is very, very impressive from this Warriors team. So, yes, it'll be a tough battle. And personally, I'm hoping the Sharks get up. But I think any Warriors fan will be pretty happy with what they're seeing from this team at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting, Brendan. I would have thought there had been scant regard for the Warriors. I mean, there was in this country towards the end of last year in particular. I just wonder, have you sensed any feel for them at all over that side of the Tasman?
Yeah, look, you're spot on in that the last couple of years, you know, finishing sort of bottom out of the finals, well out of the finals over the last couple of years. It's been tough to sort of get any recognition, but the way they've started this season, I suppose it's a surprise factor as much as anything. There were a lot of pundits over this side of the ditch tipping they were going to win the wooden spoon. So to go, you know, get three wins in the first four games, I think people are pretty surprised. So, people are starting to take notice of the Warriors. And I think what Ben said is spot on. It's as much as it is about, attack and sort of defensive structures, it's about effort at the end of the day. And it really does feel like, as a Warriors fan as well, it feels for the first time in a couple of years that there's that real sort of pride in the jersey and a really strong culture that the players are buying into. And it seems that, that's the Andrew Webster effect coming through already.
You talked about pockets of support for rugby union and strongholds in certain areas of New South Wales and Sydney, Brendan. I just wonder, for the people listening at home who perhaps haven't experienced sporting life in and around the Sydney area, how would you divide up media coverage in a percentage league to rugby union?
In Sydney, it's probably something along the lines of 80-90% rugby league. And you know, when the Wallabies maybe get an upset win over the All Blacks, or when they get thrashed, or when they lose to a team they should beat, that's probably the most media coverage that rugby union gets. There'll be a match report in the paper after a Waratahs game, but it's you can't sort of overemphasise the weight that is given to rugby league. In the media, the sort of Sydney Morning Herald cover rugby union quite well, but rugby league is just going to be the bread and butter for any sort of Sydney-based media outlet.
Right, okay. Ben String, Eddie Jones' biggest move so far, apart from to try and get the media on his side, has been the signing of Sui Ali'i. 1.7 million, I think it was, and not available for a season or two. What'd you make of that from Eddie?
I think it's decent future planning, but you know, it absolutely does nothing for the Wallabies right now. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's a heck of a lot of money for somebody who's certainly not proven in rugby union and is so young. So, yeah, I see it as a risk. It's certainly a long term risk that they're hoping that this will be good for the next World Cup rather than the current one. I think there's just much bigger issues that probably the Wallabies should be trying to face, trying to improve upon heading into the World Cup, or maybe it is a lost cause for them. I don't know. It's as Brendan said earlier, I think rugby in Australia has a lot of issues with grassroots game. New Zealand probably in a similar way, but not to the extent that Australia does. And you know, Rugby Australia should really be focusing on how to grow their game rather than maybe splashing out 1.7 million on this kid.
Yeah, interesting. I'll stay with you, Ben, because I'd like your opinion on the Olympics forthcoming, and the International Olympic Committee have recommended the issues for the return of Russian and Belarusian athletes for participating. They've played in the past. They've partaken under various flag names or country names or team names, etc. What do you make of the recommendations?
I think that Russian and Belarusian athletes should be able to compete at the Olympics. I think that to punish an athlete for what their country is doing is, I think, quite harsh, because what we know about Russians and Belarusians is that they don't necessarily agree with what their government is doing. That there's so many Russians who would like to get out of the country but can't, and there's so many Russians around the world who are just, you know, that they're disgusted by this war in Ukraine. So to ban these athletes seems a bit harsh. To take their flag away from them in competition, I think, is fine. I don't see a problem with that. But to, you know, sport is all about the competition, about the fairness of competition, and I think to have the best athletes on the biggest stage is what you want. If it means that they don't have their flag with them, I think that's fine. As long as we've got the best athletes competing, so that whoever gets that gold medal can say, I am the best in the world, I think that's the key thing.
Excellent. And I'm in full agreement with you. I don't see for any particular reason why they should be punished for an idiot like Putin and his obsession with what he's doing. I totally agree. If that's not their thing, it's not for their thing to be blamed. And I'm with you on that. I absolutely am with you on that. If they show any allegiance to it, yeah, totally different kettle of fish altogether. Thank you very much this morning to Brendan and to Ben for their input on the panel.